Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Talmud Torah Perek Vav. In this perek, the Rambam elaborates on the mitzvah to show honor to Talmidei Chachamim. This indeed is the second and final mitzvah in Hilchot Talmud Torah. The first, with which the halachot began, is the mitzvah to learn and to teach Torah. In the last third of this perek, the Rambam addresses the flip side of this mitzvah, namely the severity of showing dishonor to Talmidei Chachamim, which can lead to a punishment of nidui, that is, ostracism and exclusion from the community. The end of this perek and the entirety of the next perek deals with the punishment of nidui and its many details. Halacha Aleph, Kol Talmid Chachamim mitzvah lehadro. There's a mitzvah to honor all Talmid Chachamim. The language used by the Rambam here is lahadro, that is, to glorify him. It's based on the pasuk from which this mitzvah comes, mipnei seva takum v'adarta pnei zaken. One has to stand in front of and glorify an older person, Seva and Zaken. But the drash of Chazal on Zaken is Ze Shekana Chochma. The latter part of the Pasuk is talking specifically about a Chacham. We're going to get later to standing in for someone who is old, who is not necessarily a Chacham. That'll be later in the Perek. At what point does someone have to stand in front of a Chacham? When he is within your Arba Amot, for Amot, until he passes by you. Notice that in that last part of the halacha, the Rambam switched his language from Talmid Chachamim to Chacham. The Rambam distinguishes between these two concepts. The Chacham is the sage himself, the scholar. The Talmid Chacham, literally the student of the Chacham, is the one who is studying to be a Chacham, but is not quite there yet. The mitzvah of Hidur applies to both, but there is at least one situation in which one needs to stand for a Chacham, but not for a Talmid Chacham. We'll see that a little later in Halacha Zayin. Halacha bet, ein omdim mipanav lo beveit hamerchas lo beveit hakisei shenemar takum vehadarta ki ma sheyesh bahidur vein balei umanuyot chayavim lamod mipnei talmidei chachamim b'sha'a she'asukin b'melachtan shenemar takum vehadarta ma hidur she'ein ba chisron kis af ki ma she'ein ba chisron kis. There are two limitations on this requirement of standing. One is that one need not stand in the bathroom or in the bathhouse, because the pasuk says takum vahadarta, the last word of the first half of the pasuk, about takum, and then vahadarta, the first word of the second half of the pasuk. But the juxtaposition of those two words means that one only needs to stand when it is a standing which displays honor, which glorifies. And that's not true of standing up in a bathroom or in a bathhouse. And similarly, workers who are in the middle of their work don't have to stand while they're doing their work, because just like hidur in general doesn't require an expenditure of money, so too, standing is only obligated when it doesn't require any expenditure of money, in this case, for the workers to lose out on money for the time that they're not working, because they're standing while a Talmid Chacham passes by. Uminayin shlo yatsim einav mina chacham kedei shlo yireihu ad shlo yamod mipanav. Then Talmud Amar, ve'yareita me'elokecha, hakol davar shu masru lalev nemar bo ve'yareita me'elokecha. How do we know that one should not close his eyes or turn away and pretend not to see the Chacham so that you shouldn't have to stand in front of him? Because the end of that pasuk, the end is, you should fear your God. The Chazal learned that whenever that phrase appears in the pasuk, it indicates that you could get out of this mitzvah by pretending that it doesn't apply. In this case, by pretending not to see the Chacham as he's coming. But Hashem knows what's really in your heart, and if you fear God, you won't do that kind of pretending, and you'll stand for the Chacham. The question arises as to the relationship between this mitzvah of the Hadarta Pnei Zaken and the din of honoring one's Rav Muvhak that was the topic of the last parak. There we saw that one needs to stand for his Rav Muvhak from when he first sees him until he can no longer see him. That was Halacha Zayin in Perak Hei. Whereas the mitzvah of the Hadarta applies, as we just read, only when he is within one's Dal Ramot. Also, these last two limitations of Kima Sheyesh Ba Hidur and Kima She'ein Ba Chesron Kis were not mentioned in the last parak, implying that even in the bathhouse or while working, one must stand for his Rav Muvhak. Most Rishonim understand the distinction to be quantitative. One must show more honor to one's Rav Mufak than to other Talmidei Chachamim. This would pose a difficulty for the ordering in the Rambam, because if the honor one shows to a Rav Mufak is just an enhanced version of the honor one shows to every Talmid Chacham, the Rambam should have put the mitzvah of the Hadarta first, and only afterwards honoring a Rav Mufak. But the Rambam did the opposite. Perek Hei is Rav Mufak, and now Perek Vav is the mitzvah of the Hadarta. The Brisker Rav, the Griz, that is, Rav Yitzchak Zev or Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, in his book of Chidushim on the Rambam, understands this to be a qualitative distinction. These are two completely different halachot with different natures. Honoring one's Rav Mufak was compared by the Rambam in Perek Hei Halacha Aleph to honoring one's parent, and was referred to there as a chiyuv, an obligation or debt. The Rav taught the Talmud Torah, granting him entry to Olam Haba, and therefore the Talmud owes him a high degree of respect. In contrast, honoring a Talmud Chacham is referred to in Halach Aleph of this parak as a mitzvah, a commandment. It has nothing to do with indebtedness. It's rather a general display of Kavanah Torah. So this mitzvah of Hidur requires one to stand only when the Chacham is within four amot, while the Chiyuv, debt, owed to the Rav Mufak, requires one to stand whenever the Rav is within the Talmud's line of sight. The most significant nafkamina between the two obligations is in the matter of Mechila. A Rav Mufak can be mochel on his kavod, as we saw in Perek Hei Halacha Yod Aleph, because that kavod is essentially a debt, and one can forgive a debt. But the Rambam added there that even after Mechila, the Talmud still needs to show the Rav Mufak the honor accorded to every Talmud Chacham, implying that this mitzvah of the Hadarta is not subject to Mechila. And indeed, nowhere in this perek does the Rambam say that it is. Other Rishonim disagree. Since the Hadarta is all about general Kavod HaTorah, having nothing to do with indebtedness, it is not in the power of the Talmud Chacham to waive the obligation, according to the Rambam. Halacha Gimel. Ein ra'ui l'chacham shi'atriach et ha'am v'chaven atzmo lahem kidei shi'amdu mipanav. Elei elech b'derech kitzara, mikaven shelo yireh oto echad kidei shelo yatricho la'amod. V'chachem ayu makifim v'holchin b'derech ha'chitzona, she'in makirihen mitzuyin sham kidei shelo yatrichu. It's proper for a chacham to walk in a way that requires as few people as possible to have to stand up to honor him. So he should take the shortest possible way and go where there aren't people, or at least not people who know who he is, so that people won't have to take the trouble to stand up for him. Halacha Dalet. Rochev harei ukim halech. Ukeshem shomdin mipnei ha'malech, kach omdin mipnei ha'rochev. If a chacham goes by riding on a horse, that's the equivalent of walking, and one has to stand in that situation as well. Halacha hei, shlosha shayu malchim baderech, harav ba'emtza, gadol mimino, katan mismolo. When two people are accompanying a chacham on a path, the way to walk, which shows the most honor, would be for the chacham to be in the middle, and of the two people accompanying him, the greater one to be to his right, and the lesser one to be to his left. In the next halacha, the Rambam describes the special form of a hadarta, which applies to the nasi and to the av beit din. In Hilchot Sanhedrin, the Rambam identifies these two people. They are the leaders, first the Nasi, and second him the Av Beit Din, of the Beit Din Hagadol of 71 judges, which sat adjacent to the Beit HaMikdash. Halacha Vav. Haro'e Chacham eino omeid milfanav ad shiagia lo la'ar ba'amot, vekivan shavar yoshev. Ra'a Av Beit Din omeid milfanav mishir enu merachok melo enav, v'eno yoshev ad shiavor miacharav ar ba'amot. Ra'a Tanasi omeid milfanav melo enav, v'eno yoshev ad shiyeshev bimkomo o ad shiyitkaseh me'enav. Hanasi shmachala al kvodo, kvodo machul. So for the Chacham, the requirement to stand, as we saw in Halacha Aleph, is when he comes within four amot, until just after he passes. For the Av Beit Din, one must stand from as soon as he sees him, until just after he passes. And for the Nasi, one must stand from as soon as he sees him until he no longer sees him, or until the Nasi sits down in his place. And just like the Rav Mufak, the Nasi can also be mochel on his kavod, in which case we don't have to stand for him in this special manner, though again, one would still have to stand up for him in the usual manner for a Talmud Chacham. Now the Rambam describes the protocol when someone deserving of Hidur enters the Beit Midrash. There are four levels: the Nasi, the Av Beit Din, a Chacham, and finally a Talmid Chacham. Kesha Hanasi Nichnas, Kol Ha'am Omdin, Ve'inan Yoshvin Ad Shomar Lehem Shvu. Kesha Av Beit Din Nichnas, Osin Lo Shtei Shirot, Omdin Mikan U'Mikan, Ad Shnichnas V'yeshev Bimkomo, U'Sha'ar Ha'am Yoshvim Bimkoman. When the Nasi enters the Beit Midrash, everyone has to stand, and they only sit down when he tells them to sit. When the Av Beit Din enters, then not everyone has to stand. Rather, where he's walking, people have to stand up in two lines and with a path between them for him to walk, but everyone else can stay seated. Halacha zayin, chacham shenichnas, kol shiagia lo ba'arba mot, omed milfanav, echad omed v'chad yoshev, ad shenichnas v'yeshev bimkomo. If a chacham enters, as we saw, people have to stand when he enters their four amot. So you have a situation where some people are standing because he's walked into their four amot, and the ones who have been standing until now sit down. That continues until he gets to his place. B'nei chachamim v'talmidei chachamim, b'zman sha'arbim tzrichim lehem, mekapsin al rashei ha'am v'nechnasin limkoman, v'ein shevach l'talmid chachamim, shikanes ba'achorna, yatsa l'tzorech chozer limkomo. When a talmid chacham needs to enter the Beit Midrash, and most of the people there are of a higher stature than him, then they do not stand for him, and when he walks in and out, he looks as if he is stepping on the heads of the people there, because they're all sitting on the floor and he's walking in between them. But really, Rambam says that Talmid Chacham should not do that. He should be coming in first and leaving last so that he can stand when others walk in and not have to walk among the people who are sitting there. B'nei Chachamim, b'zman shiyesh ben da'at lishmoa, hofkin pneihem klapei abihem, en ben da'at lishmoa, hofkin pneihem klapei ham. This has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Hidur. The children of the Chachamim, who are young, they're accompanying their father to the Beit Midrash. If they're able to understand, they face their father and listen to what he's saying. If they don't, then they should sit backwards so people see that this is just a child who is there accompanying his father. Halachachet, tamid shu yoshev lifnei rabo tamid, eino rashai lamod milfanav, ela shachrit varvit bilvad, shlo yehi kvodo merubeh mikvod shamayim. A Talmud who sits with his Rebbe all day should not stand for him more than twice. He should stand in the morning and at night. The reason for this is that just as a person accepts upon himself all Malchut Shamayim, when he says Kriyat Shema in the morning and at night, should do the mitzvah of the Hadarta toward his Rebbe by standing with that same frequency. But not more than that. If twice a day is enough for God, then certainly enough for the Rebbe. Halacha Tet. Mishu zaken muflag bizikna, ava bi sheino chacham, omdim lefanav. Vafilu hachacham shu yeled omed bifnei hazaken hamuflag bizikna, veino chayav lamod melo komato. Anyone who is old, even if he's not a chacham, we need to stand for him. This is the first half of that pasuk, mipnei seva takum. The Rama adds here in the Shulchan Aruch, yes, he does not need to be a chacham, but if he's a rasha, if we know that he does averot in public, then one does not need to stand for him. Even a young chacham has to stand before a very old person who is not a chacham, but he doesn't have to stand completely. It's enough for him to move a little bit in his seat as if he's starting to stand up, just enough to show him some honor. The Shach adds that this is true specifically in this case of a young Talmud Chacham. Only he does not have to stand up fully in front of the old person who is not a Chacham. But a youngster who is not a Talmud Chacham absolutely has to stand fully. And even an older guy, we have to show heed or to, speaking to nicely and giving him a hand if he needs something to lean on, letting him lean on our arm. Because the Pasuk says, Mipnei Seva Takum, sounds like any older person, even a goy. Halacha Yud. Talmidei chachamim enan yotzin lasot ba'atzman im kol ha'kahal bivinyan v'chafira shel medina v'chayotzei behen kedei shelo yipazu bifnei amei ha'aretz. If the people of a city need to go out and do physical work, digging something around the city or building something around the city, then talmidei chachamim are exempt from that. Ve'en govin mehen levinyan ha'chomot v'tikun ha'sharim u'schar ha'shomrim v'chayotzei behen v'lo litshurat ha'melech. Ve'en mechayvin otam liten amas. Bein mas shu katsuv al bnei ha'ir, bein mas shu katsuv al kol ish ve'ish, shnamar, gam ki itnu vagoyim ata akabtseim, vayachelu ma'at mimasa melech v'sarim. Similarly, Talmidei Chachamim are exempt from contributing to a common cause when it comes to a need for the city, to build walls, to fix the gates, to collect some kind of tax for the king, whether it be a tax on the city as a whole or a tax on each individual. The city is required to exempt the Talmidei Chachamim, and if need be, others will contribute their parts. The source of this is this pasuk in Hosea that the Rambam quotes, which they darshan to mean that those who learn, gam ki yitnu, those who are engaged in the masa and matan of halacha, will be exempt, vayachelu, from paying the melech v'sarim, the king and the government. The Shulchan Aruch rules that this halacha about exempting a Talmid Chacham from communal taxes applies only to one who acts as the Rambam describes in Perek Gimel. He works only the minimum necessary to survive and otherwise devotes himself to learning. Furthermore, he needs to be known as someone who has accomplished a tremendous amount in his learning and is expert in the halachic literature. The Rama adds that in practice, we assume that no one really fits this description nowadays, and the status of Talmid Chachamim vis-a-vis taxes depends on the custom of each community. V'chein im hayta schora l'talmid chachamim, manichin oto limkor tchila, ve'ein manichin echad b'mnei hashuk limkor ad shimkor hu. V'chein im haya lo din v'haya omeid b'chlal balei dinin harbei, makdimin oto u'moshivin oto. So too, if a Talmid Chacham has something to sell and he's in the shuk where other people are selling, then he has the right to sell first. And if he has some kind of din Torah, he's standing in the court with others waiting to bring their cases, we take his din Torah first. These are all examples of the Hadarta, of showing him honor by letting him go first. Until now, the Rambam has been dealing with the positive mitzvah of Hadarta Pnei Zaken. From this point on, the Rambam starts talking about the reverse situation of someone who dishonors a Talmid Chacham and what we do to him and what his punishment is. Halacha Yud Aleph, Avon Gadol Hu Levazot Et HaChachamim, O Lisnotan. Lo Chava Yushalayim Ad Shebizuba Talmid Chachamim, Shnamar Vayu Malivim B'Malachei HaElokim Uvozim Dvarav Umitatim Binviav, Klamar Bozim Lamdei Dvarav. It's a terrible sin to show dishonor, to scorn Chachamim, to hate them, and Yerushalayim was only destroyed because they show dishonor to Talmid Chachamim. And the Rambam quotes here a pasuk from Divrei HaYamim, where the Navi is talking about the sins of the Malchei Yehuda and the officers and the people of Yehuda, and why it is that Hashem eventually destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Among them is listed this avera of showing disrespect to Talmid Chachamim. V'chein zeh shamra Torah, im chukotai tim'asu, melamdei chukotai tim'asu. V'chol mevazeh et hachachamim, eino chelek olam haba, v'reizeh bichlal ki devar Hashem baza. In the beginning of the Tochacha, when it says we will get a whole series of punishments, im chukotai tim'asu, if you reject God's laws, the drasha is that timasu, rejecting, despising, refers to those who teach God's laws, the chachamim. Anyone who disrespects Talmid Chachamim does not have a share in Olam Haba, and he is included in the pasuk that we saw back at the end of Perek Gimel, in a different context of ki devar Hashem baza. This is someone who detests the word of God.
Halach Yud Bet. Af al pi shamevazeta chachamim eino chelek, im ba'u edim shebizahu afilu bidvarim chayav nidui, umenadin oto beit din barabim, vekonsin oto litra zahav bechol makom, venotnin ota lachacham.
So, in addition to these punishments mishamayim for someone who disrespects Talmid Chachamim, if there are witnesses that he did so, Beit Din will give him the punishment of nidui, that is, ostracism. The people of the community will not interact with him in certain ways. The details of this will be listed in the next parak. But in addition, we also fine him. Litra Zahav is a large amount of gold, equivalent to thousands of dollars, thousands of shekels in modern money. And that money is given to the Chacham. V'amavazet HaChacham bidvarim, afilu lachar mita, mnadin oto Beit Din, והם מתירים אותו כשיחזור בתשובה. אבל אם היה חכם חי, אין מתירים לו עד שירצה זה שנידוהו בשבילו.
Even someone who disrespects a chacham after the chacham's death, Beit Din will put him in nidui, and will only release him from the nidui when he is chozer b'tshuva. But if the chacham is alive, then we don't release him from his nidui until he gets forgiveness from that chacham.
וכן החכם עצמו מנדל לכבודו לעם ארץ שהבקיר בו, ולא צריך לו עדים לו התראה, ואין מתירים לו עד שירצה את החכם. ואם את החכם, באין שלושה ומתירים לו. ומצא החכם למחול לו, ולא נידהו הרשות בידו.
The chacham doesn't have to wait for Beit Din to do this, even if he is shown disrespect by an Am Haaretz, without witnesses and without warning, he can put the offending party into nidui, and only he can release the person from nidui when he forgives him. If the chacham dies, then three others can release this person from his nidui. Of course, the chacham can, if he wishes, simply let the insult pass and not put the person into nidui. This kind of behavior is, in general, praiseworthy, but there is an important caveat, and the Rambam will elaborate on this at the end of the next parak when he concludes Hilchot Talmud Torah. From here until the end of the next parak, the Rambam is discussing the laws of nidui, and we'll have more to say about the concept of nidui in general when we get to the next parak.
Halacha Yud Gimel. Harav shenidan lichvodo chayvin kol tamidav linhog nidui b'manudeh.
Aval tamid shnida lichvod atzmo, ein harav chayav linhog bo nidui, aval kol ha'am chayavim linhog bo nidui. When a rav puts someone in nidui, his talmidim have to obey that nidui. And certainly everyone else does as well. However, a talmid who puts someone into nidui because that person offended him, the rav of that talmid is not bound by that nidui. He can still interact with that person. But everyone else who is of lesser stature than the talmid has to follow that nidui. V'chein minudeh l'nasi, minudeh l'chol Yisrael. Minudeh l'chol Yisrael, eino minudeh l'nasi. Minudeh l'iro, minudeh l'ir acheret, minudeh l'ir acheret, eino minudeh l'iro. Following this pattern, that one who is in nidui to someone of higher stature is automatically nidui to everyone of lower stature. They are obligated to follow the rules of that nidui. So someone who is in nidui to the nasi is automatically in nidui to the entire Jewish people, but not vice versa. The nasi does not have to obey the rules of a nidui that was imposed because of anyone else. Someone who is minudeh to his city, other cities have to follow that nidui. But if someone from city A was put in nidui by city B because of something he did to a resident of that city, the people of his own city, city A, do not need to follow that nidui. The idea is that those further away need to follow a nidui which was imposed by people in closer proximity, but not the other way around. Halach Yudalad. B'me dvarim amurim, b'mi shenidu mipnei shebizat tamnei chachamim. Al mi shenidu al sha'ar dvarim shechayvim alei nidui, afilu nidahu katon shebisrael, chayav hanasi v'chol Yisrael inhog bov nidui, ad sheyachzor b'tshuva, medvar shenidu b'shvilo v'yatiru lo. All this, we've only been discussing until now, nidui because someone disrespected a chacham. It's in that situation that all the rules we just said apply, that those of a lower level need to follow the nidui imposed by someone on a higher level. Someone further away needs to follow a nidui imposed by someone closer by. These only apply to a nidui given because of disrespect to a chacham. But as we'll see now, there are 24 sins for which a person can be put into nidui. And for all the others, except for this one, once nidui is imposed by anyone, everyone else has to obey that nidui until the person does tshuva and the nidui is released. Al arba'a ve'esrim dvarim min adinat ha'adam, bein ish bein isha ve'eluhein. The following is a list of 24 sins for which a person get nidui. We'll read them six at a time and explain. We should note that the Rambam himself will come back to most of these, each one in the part of the Mishnah Torah that is relevant to that offense. So we will have occasion to see most of these reasons for nidui later again in the Mishnah Torah. Aleph, hamevazeh tachacham afilu lachar moto, bet hamevazeh shliach beidin, gimel hakorei lachavero eved, dalad hamazalzel bidavar echad midivrei sofrim, vein srich lomar bidivrei Torah, hey, misha shlacho lo beidin vikavu lo zman velo ba, vav, misha lo kibel alav et adin, minadinoto ad shiitain. So these six are, number one, what we just learned about, dishonoring a chacham. Number two, dishonoring a shaliach beitin. Beitin sends a messenger to summon someone to court. And if someone refuses to heed the instructions of the shaliach beitin, or if he rejects the authority of the court that sent him, that person goes into nidui. Someone who calls a fellow Jew an eved, that is an eved kanani, that was considered a terrible offense. Someone who shows disrespect to a mitzvah midrabanan, and certainly to a mitzvah min haTorah. Someone who does not show up at the Beit Din at the prearranged time for a court date. And someone who does not accept the verdict of Beit Din and does not give money to the other party, as Beit Din told him. He's a nidui until he gives. Continuing the list. Zayin, mi sheyesh birshuto davar hamazik kegon kelev ra o sulam ra'ua, minadin oto ad sheyasir hazeko. Chet, hamocher karka shelo legoy, minadin oto ad sheyikabel alav kol onesh sheyavo min hagoy liyisrael chaviro bal hametzer. Tet, hameid al yisraeli ba'arkaot shel goyim, votzim menu beidutom amon shelo kedin yisrael, minadin oto ad sheyishalem. Yud, tabach kohen sheino mafrish hamatanon penotan lekohen acher, minadin oto ad sheyitain. Yud Aleph, hamechalel yom tov shni shel galuyot, afi shu minhag. Yud Bet, haosem melacha be'erev Pesach achar chatzot. So number seven was someone who has in his possession a dangerous object, like a wild animal, a wild dog, or a ladder that is not stable. These things can lead to a person's death, and we put the person in nidui until he gets rid of this dangerous object. Someone who sells land to a goy. And as a result, there's now a goy as a neighbor to a Jew. By doing so, he has hurt his neighbor because the goy will act in an unfair way. And so we put the seller into nidui until he accepts upon himself to pay the neighbor for any damage resulting from the fact that he is a goy living next door to him. Number nine, someone who testifies against a fellow Jew in a non-Jewish court and thereby causes him to lose money in a way that he wouldn't have lost money in a Jewish court. we'll see much later in the Mishnah Torah that one is not supposed to go to a non-Jewish court, and this person, by doing so, caused him to lose money, so he's into nidui until he pays back the one who he caused to lose money. And number 10 is a kohen who shechts an animal. There are parts of an animal that go to a kohen, what are called the zroa, lechaim, and keva, three parts of the shechted animal that are supposed to be given to a kohen. The halacha is that if a kohen shechts his own animal, he has to give those to another kohen and not keep them for himself. Someone who keeps them for himself gets a nidui till he gives them to another kohen. Someone who violates the second day of Yom Tov that applies outside Israel, even though we've already mentioned that someone who violates a din drabanan gets nidui, but this has the status of a custom, of a minhag, but nonetheless it's a very strong custom, and therefore such a person also gets nidui. Finally, what we read until now, Erev Pesach after Chatzot, the second half of the day in Erev Pesach is a quasi Yom Tov, and one is not allowed to do his regular weekday work at that time. And in Odesso, gets nidui. Continuing the list, Yud Gimel Hamazkir Shem Shmaim Levatala O Lishvua B'Divrei Havai Yud Dalet Hamevi Et HaRabim Lidei Chil Hashem Tet Vav Hamevi Et HaRabim Lidei Achilat Kodshim Bachutz Tet Zayin Hamechashev Shanim Mekovea Chodashim Bechutz Laaretz Yud Zayin Hamachshil Et HaIver Yud Chet Hamakev Et HaRabim Milasot Mitzvah. So number 13 is someone who says God's name in vain, either by itself or in the context of some completely unnecessary oath. Number 14 is someone who causes a chil Hashem in front of others. The source for this is the famous story of Choni HaMe'agel, not to get into all the details of that now, but someone who, through a very public miracle, brought rain in a time of terrible drought. According to the Yerushalmi, Shimon ben Shetach sent him afterwards, we should really put you in nidui, because if you hadn't succeeded, then it would have been a terrible chil Hashem, that in a very public way you thought you'd bring rain, and God didn't listen to you. From there we learn that someone who causes a chil Hashem in public is deserving of nidui. Tedvav is someone who causes others to eat kodshim outside the mikdash. The case where this comes up in the Gemara Masachim was that someone named Todus would eat a roasted goat on the Seder night in memory of the Korban Pesach, which was eaten roasted and could be a goat. The Chachamim told him that he's really deserving of nidui, because people see this and they might mimic him, but actually say that it is a Korban Pesach, in which case they've been makdashed as a korban, and now they're not allowed to eat it. And if they eat, once they eat it, they're eating kodshim bachutz, so what he did should lead people astray if they see him and don't mimic him properly. And the next one is any Beit Din or Chacham who adjusts the calendar, either the year or the or Kiddush HaChodesh in Chutz Laaretz. We'll see when we get to Hilcha Kiddush HaChodesh, that all that is only supposed to be done in Eretz Yisrael. Someone who causes someone else to sin. Machshil Iver, literally putting a stumbling block in front of the blind, but really meaning causing someone to sin. The example in the Gemara, which the Ravid quotes in his Hasaga right here, is someone who hits his adult son. Because a son is an adult, he doesn't appreciate being hit and might hit back, which would be a terrible avera of hitting one's parent. And the last one we just read is someone who prevents the masses from doing a mitzvah. This too is based on a story in the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva saw a bunch of witnesses traveling on Shabbat to testify about seeing the new moon for Kiddush HaChodesh. And after the first few witnesses went, he stopped all the rest and said, there's no need to be Mechal Shabbos when some witnesses have already gone. And Rabbi Gamliel sent him afterwards that we should really put you in nidui, because now these people won't come in the future and you're preventing them from doing a mitzvah. We might end up some month where no one comes. All of them are assuming that someone else is doing it. And finally, the last six, Yutet. Tabach yatzat trefa mitachat yado, kaf, tabach shlo badak sakino lifnei chacham, kaf alef, hamkashet moladat, kaf bet, mishigeresha tishto vasa beino vena, shutafut, o masa umatan, mevin lahen lizakek zelaze, kishevoshnen lebeitin menadinotan, kaf gimel chacham shashmoto ra'a, kaf dal hamade, mishaino chayav nidui. So these last six include a butcher who did not check his animals properly, and some of the meat he sold was found to be meat of a trefa, which is usher to eat, and he should have been more diligent in checking the animals and not selling this one. A butcher who did not check have his knife checked, have a chacham check his knife before he used it to shecht. Someone who thinks improper sexual thoughts, and as a result brings himself to a state of sexual arousal for no reason other than his own enjoyment. Someone who divorces his wife and then has some kind of business partnership with her that requires them to be in constant contact with one another. Beit Din considers this inappropriate after they're divorced and therefore puts them into nidui. A chacham who is rumored to have engaged in improper behavior of any sort. And finally, someone who puts someone else into nidui for no good reason, he himself is subject to nidui. The Ravid has a hasaga at the very end here. It's based on a story of Reish Lakish in the Gemara in Moed Katan. The Ravid claims that this is not something Beitin would do. This is rather something that the person who was put into nidui inappropriately can do back to the one who put him into nidui. In the next perek, we'll get into the details of what exactly nidui consists of. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.